your proud defender of the American dream, Rick Smith.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. So, obviously, the big news, Roseanne Barr. Not very clever, but fortunately out. Now, what's interesting to me is that the conservatives are now seeing this as an opportunity to cash in. In fact, former Trumpite Michael Caputo wants Roseanne to put her program on his conservative television streaming startup. It's called, I guess, Bond. Maybe it's short for bondage. I don't know. But that's what Michael Caputo wants to do. Sees an opportunity to cash in on hate. I'm here to talk a little bit about what we're seeing, what we know. I've asked our good friend, Carrie Pennebaker, to come talk with us. Carrie, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me on again.
So what do you think of this? What do you think of all of this? Is this much ado of nothing? Is this insanity? Where are your thoughts?
It's definitely not insanity from the reactions to it. It's insanity that Roseanne would think that was something that is acceptable to say and then try to cloak it under the guise of comedy. That is blatant racism. I mean, that is something that has been this trope about equating black folks to apes is not anything new. So it's a real shame that is the way that she views Valerie Jarrett. And I mean, I actually do know Valerie Jarrett, by the way. I shared a clip yesterday after this happened of Valerie Jarrett hugging me after a speech I gave in D.C. and about my mom. And Valerie said that my mom would be very proud of me. So it's unfortunate on one hand that Roseanne thought this was okay. It's even worse that their people are defending her. And when you look at those that are defending her, those are the same folks that are saying that it is okay to call Colin Kaepernick a son of a bee and that he should be fired for kneeling. He didn't even say nothing, you know. So it's just a sad commentary on things of the condition of our country right now and how far we've really fallen.
Yeah, since you brought up Kaepernick and you know, obviously the NFL's decision here to impose their will on the players, even though they've got a collective bargaining agreement, do you find it odd that, you know, Roseanne can have free speech, but the players can't?
Oh, absolutely, especially when, as you mentioned in your last segment, free speech doesn't apply in either situation. I mean, those are private companies that have their own conduct policy, and we don't have to agree with their policy, but this is not a free speech issue, I mean, because that exists between a person and the government. But on one hand, with Colin Kaepernick, I wish people would be more outraged about why he was kneeling rather than the fact that he's kneeling and address those issues. The day they came out with the ruling, we saw the video released of Sterling Brown and how he was abused and brutalized here in Milwaukee. It is ironic that that's the way that cycle played out. But again, they aren't worried about why he's kneeling. They just don't want him to kneel. It's like, hey, be quiet, go get in the locker room. We don't want to see this. So I hope we're going to have some NFL players who will continue to kneel. And I'm glad that there are a couple teams that are willing to pay those fines, but this is something that the NFL did not have to do. They did not have to bow down to the lowest common denominator of the ugly side of our country or Donald Trump. I think it was just a wrong move, and it just shows, again, how far we really have fallen.
Yeah, you know, I'd wonder because, you know, before they made the announcement, there was some talk about a 15-yard penalty, and I was going, well, they're not going to do that because if players on both sides do it, then they'll just be offsetting penalties, and I'm okay with that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's something they didn't have to do. I mean, doing the having this big to do before the game isn't something that is a time-honored tradition for the NFL anyway. This happened after 9/11, so it really is something that they are trying to appeal to a certain demographic rather than addressing the issues at hand.
Right.
And as an entity as big as the NFL, they can make a powerful statement just like the amazing Milwaukee Bucks did after the video came out with Sterling Brown being brutalized by the police here. They could have made a positive statement about how we can't allow police to brutalize black and brown men like this and get away with it. We demand justice. We stand with our athletes of color, our communities of color, and our fans. That would be something that is uplifting. And instead, they decided to bow down to the likes of Trump and those who think Colin Kaepernick doesn't deserve his ability to speak up.
It's interesting. And if you watch the video, and I highly suggest people that do, I don't know when it took 10 cops to issue a parking ticket. I mean, I looked at him going, how is that possible? So you give him a parking ticket, you go away. Or you get a hook in there and you tow the car away. You don't have 10 cops show up and tase the man.
Yeah, and so this is something that unfortunately is not unique and doesn't – this is not just a one-off, right? So when it's sad that, you know, we black men are not looked upon or profiled as being millionaires or – businessmen or professional athletes, we are profiled as being a criminal first and a threat first. That's why they brought all those cops there. It wasn't because they wanted his autograph. They brought all those cops there because they immediately thought he was a threat. And you can see the video. He's not being combative. He's compliant. He doesn't want to take his hands out of his pockets because he's afraid that something like what happened to Amadou Diallo, who just had a wallet, or Stephon Clark, who just had a cell phone. Any sudden movement by a person of color in a situation like that could be a death sentence. And to see that man tased the way he was and thrown around like that is really, really unfortunate. And it's uncalled for, and it's something that we as a country, whether you're white or black, we definitely should stand against that and stand with people like Sterling Brown and people of color who brutalize all over the country.
Yeah. I'm with you. Let's change gears for a second. You know, enough with the Roseanne and the ambient tweeting. Do you buy the ambient tweeting, by the way?
No, but I mean, I was listening to the other segment. I mean, I don't want to demonize those who need to use certain drugs to either to sleep or to deal with whatever circumstance they're dealing with. And I certainly don't want to blame it on a drug like that. But again, I mean, we've all said stupid stuff when we've been drunk. But that's not an excuse. That really isn't. She needs to own it. And it's not. This is not something that's a first-time deal for her. I think when you do make comments like that, it just reveals who you are. It's that quote, believe them the first time when they show you who you are. That's what she is.
I don't buy the ambient tweeting either, although... like you said, you know what I do see rehab in the future for her anyway. But I wanted to ask you about the evidently the governor of Texas has come out with a 40-page proposal on how to stop gun deaths and how in schools and how to beef up security. And you know, just want to throw some of his ideas at you and get some of your thoughts on it. He wants more armed security on the campuses of the schools. He wants to arm teachers. He wants to enhance mental health services. Wants to do a gun lock giveaway, some social media stuff to encourage people to lock up their guns. A new school safety app, expand programs to help identify and remove dangerous problem kids. And they're going to spend about $120 million in grant money to do it. Is this the right direction, or is this just a deflection of it's still the gun?
Well, it's a mixture of both. There are some components of it that I would agree with. I mean, having more services for mental health is important when in a lot of places in America, it's easier to get a gun than it is to get your first mental health care appointment. That's definitely a good thing. That would have saved my mom's life had she had easier access to a therapist or mental health care rather than that gun. That's a good thing. But by and large, what they're trying to do is everything but deal with gun violence. A lot of these proposals are reactive rather than being proactive. Some are. But when you neglect to deal with easily accessible guns in our society, I mean, it's just a recipe for disaster. And I think it's really pretty unfortunate when our kids are going to be going to school in damn near like a prison. And plus, when you combine the fact that you're arming teachers and more folks in the school, it's going to be the minority students who are going to pay the price. We've seen students, young girls thrown around by security guards. Add guns to the equation and see what happens. I don't think that's the solution here. I mean, we've seen story after story after teachers making mistakes with guns, not to mention that police officers themselves, who are going to go through far more training than a teacher will, they only have about a 20% hit rate when they fire their firearm. What do you expect a teacher to do? Now all of a sudden they got all this money to arm teachers and put more security guards in schools, but yet they got schools that can't afford books. There are schools that don't have a resource, a counselor, or someone for a troubled teen or child to go to. That there's something wrong in that equation when that's the route they decide to take. And plus, you figure that they're going to be students who are going to be simply marginalized and just simply thrown to the curb now, who just simply don't fit their profile.
Right. And that was my first thought, to be honest with you, when I saw we're going to do some mental health screening and then we're going to, you know, have programs to identify and remove students. For me, it was just anybody who doesn't fit the mold, who doesn't conform, you know, get those goth kids out of here. Anybody with a trench coat to the curb, that kind of knee-jerk kind of reactionary stuff. I see that happening a lot. And then, but you're going to hear, but we're just keeping you safe.
Yeah, I mean, when you really look at it, though, so if you think of things like laws like red flag laws, for example, that allow an intimate or immediate family member to remove temporarily the guns from someone's who's going through a crisis, removing their access to a gun, a lot of the responses that we'll get is, well, what about due process, right? But now when it comes to anything else outside of the gun itself, then they don't care about due process. You've heard Donald Trump say it. Let's arrest them now and ask questions later.
Yeah.
And you're going to see a whole bunch of kids, those who can't afford to buy their way or plead that they're just too rich to know better. It's going to be those folks, those kids that are paying the price. And we're going to raise a generation of folks who are going to be further marginalized because they simply don't look or act the part that the state might want them to. That is simply wrong. That is not the way we should be raising our kids. That is not the environment we should be putting our kids into. We should want to put them into an environment where they don't have to be afraid of guns, not bringing more guns into the equation. Make sure you don't put guns in the hands of those who shouldn't have them. I don't know why that's so hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think back to when I was a kid, and, you know, and I've said this before on the show that, you know, when I was a kid, I grew up in a housing project, and when you saw somebody with a gun, chances are somebody was going to die. Now, as a kid, they were almost impossible to get a hold of. And I got to wonder, you know, how bad would it have been in my neighborhood had guns been as saturated into our culture as it is now? How many of my friends would have been shot and killed as opposed to, you know, knifed or hit with a bat or whatever? You know, I just can't even imagine.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, if more guns made us safe, we'd be the safest country on earth.
Yeah,
we have more guns than we have people. But yet, we have a deadly epidemic of gun violence with 96 people being shot and killed every single day and more than 200 that are shot and injured and survive. There's something wrong with that thought process where we value the gun or we romanticize being the hero. That is the thing that the NRA has done. It has made people, for one, be afraid of the other, and two, made them think that they could be the hero, rather than making sure people are safe. That is pervasive and something we as Americans need to stand up against the NRA and those kind of deadly marketing tactics just simply to have more guns sold. We can't accept that, and it's not sustainable.
It's incredible, and you're right. The NRA is doing an incredible job. If you look at their social media and their propaganda machine, that NRA TV, that pure propaganda, top to bottom.
Yeah, they had something on the other night talking about how the NRA has stood up for black folks. No, they haven't. And in the '60s, when Ronald Reagan was governor of California, Black Panthers showed up to the state capitol with guns. And pretty quick, they passed the Mulford Act so you couldn't open carry. That was a direct response to black folks with guns.
So isn't that the answer then, Curry? I mean, you know, if you take the NRA's, you know, thought process, and I've had people tell me this, that, you know, every black person should in the state of Pennsylvania should open carry, because if they're already afraid of you, shouldn't you give them a reason?
No, I don't. We don't have the luxury of giving them a reason, because there might be a lot of folks that are still armed, who still are going to assume the worst in us, and look at us as a threat, shoot first and ask questions later. That's not a game I'm willing to play with my life. But theoretically, in conversation, okay. But in the reality of things, when you know unarmed black man with a cell phone can be shot at 20 times and hit 8, I'm not willing to play that game, man.
I hear you. I did want to ask you about one other thing. I saw this story about the principal of the school down in Parkland, who her daughter was one of the 17 killed, and the treatment that this woman has had to bear in this school district, who have, you know, they've tried everything they can possibly do to make this poor woman's life miserable,
right.
Or so it appears from the outside. I wanted to get some of your thoughts on it.
Yeah, so now I believe they voted last week to withhold her pay or not pay her enough due to the time that she had to take off dealing with her daughter's death and funeral. I think that's abhorrent, right? If we can't be a society that practices empathy and compassion, then we really aren't headed in the right direction. And it's just a greater commentary on things of how they are valuing the wrong thing. And it's not people. And it's really unfortunate that this family is being victimized all over again. And I'm hoping that those in that community are going to rally around her and help fill in the gaps financially where that school district has failed her. And they've failed her twice.
I mean, I look at this and I go, you know, is this what we do to people?
Apparently. So not only do we hurt them financially, their children die, then we sit and bicker about who's wrong and who's right, and we let those who only want to sell more guns have more of a say than regular folks do. It's something that I think has to come to an end, and we as Americans, as citizens, as voters, as human beings have to be willing to stand up not only and vote on this issue, but speak out and say, this is not acceptable. I won't accept another school shooting. I won't accept another gun suicide. I won't accept another shooting on the streets. None of this is okay. And adding more guns to the equation and listening to those who simply do not want to fix the problem is something that we can't accept anymore. Either we fix this problem or it's only going to get worse.
I'm with you. Curry, I appreciate the time, the thoughts, and the insight. Thanks so much.
Absolutely, brother. Thanks for having me on.
Always great talking with you, our good friend Curry Pennebaker. Again, this is, you know, one of those things that he's right. We should not tolerate it. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Exposing that free trade is never free. The Rick Smith Show.